I'd like us to read together the scripture for this morning. It's on the back of your bulletin. You'll see we're back in Psalm 91. It's verses 5 through 6. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. It's amazing how you can do a sermon out of two lines of scripture, but wow, this is powerful. This is very powerful information. Let's begin with a true account. This true account comes from John Johnson, okay? And he shares this according to what happened to him in relationship to Psalm 91. Now, John Johnson serves as a Texas Youth Commission officer who works within the Special Tactics and Response Team. So you know that's heavy duty. That is a hard job. Now, Special Tactics and Response Team is acronymed STAR, and here is his story.
John Johnson states, "As part of STAR, I was called across the country to establish order once juvenile systems had lost control and gone awry. In essence, we had to enter very dangerous situations that threatened our lives. The teenagers were out of control at that time. Prior to going, I would read Psalm 91 book by Peggy Joyce Ruth to remind myself of the biblical truths that stood in place for me. One incident stood out. One dorm of youth had overpowered the staff and taken control of the unit. The youth had gone crazy, ripping out water fountains from the walls, completely destroying a washer-dryer unit, and had thrown a TV set through a window. It was not a pretty sight. We were ordered to take the facility back, but we could not arm ourselves with guns, so we carried shields and wore protective vests. I had trained each of my staff to cover themselves in prayer and scripture, Psalm 91 to be specific. We're not afraid of any of the arrows thrown at us, regardless that we later learned that the youth had fashioned a 12-inch homemade knife and had glass spears from the shattered windows and TV set that could have easily killed us. It helped that our supervisor was also a person of God, covering us in prayer, and we completed our task without any eruption of violence."
Welcome back to Psalm 91. Now, we completed the first four verses last month, as you may recall. We did verse 1 and 2, then we did 3 and 4. This month, we're going to finish Psalm 91. Now, Psalm 91, as you also may recall, is called the soldier's prayer. It's called the soldier's prayer due to so many servicemen taking it into battle with them as personal spiritual protection. Yet millions across the world have sought refuge from this very same poem or psalm. It is used as a prayer not only for ourselves, you can use it for yourself, but you can also use it as a prayer of protection for others. Today we are covering verses 5 and 6, so I encourage you to keep that verse in front of you, the back side of that bulletin. The first thing that we notice with these two verses is that it covers an entire 24-hour period. It is emphasizing both day and night protection. But more importantly, it emphasizes every evil known to man. So let's take these two verses piece by piece.
"You will not be afraid of the terror by night." Let's focus on the phrase, "afraid of the terror." We know that all evils come through humankind: kidnapping, robbery, rape, murder, terrorism, and even wars. And it is the dread or horror what humankind can do to us that we fear. Thus, the first thing that God deals with in this verse is our fear. Over and over again, Jesus tells us, do not fear. Why? Number one, because God tells us that we will be protected. And number two, that faith is the opposite of fear. Fear comes when we think we are responsible for bringing about this protection for ourselves. This is an accurate thinking because the protection is already there.
As we know, the Israelites, as you recall scripture, were protected by the sheep's blood coated on their door facings. Remember that? We, however, are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. When we confess aloud, I am protected by the blood of Jesus, and we believe it, the devil literally cannot come in. Recall verse 2 that read, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. One more time. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. It is both the heart, the passion, the belief, as well as the mouth that participate when we say this. Remember the emphasis that I placed on speaking your prayers aloud a couple of weeks ago. Prayers of protection are especially important because we need to make these prayers of protection a declaration. Remember that this is an important concept and it is embedded in this practice that I'm going to state just now. I'm going to say it once. The second time I say it, I'm going to have you fill in the blanks. That physical weapons are operated by our hands, whereas spiritual weapons are wielded by our mouths. So now you fill in the blanks. Physical weapons are operated by our
hands,
whereas the spiritual weapons are wielded by our
mouths.
Excellent. The blood of Christ is applied by saying it in faith. That is why, as new believers, newly baptized into the faith, in the name of the Trinity, a spoken testimony is often stated or requested. It's important that we state our beliefs, our faith in Jesus Christ. So when we find ourselves afraid of the terror by night, that is our barometer, and it's letting us know that we're not abiding as closely to the Lord as we could be.
How do we combat this fear? We have to choose to believe in His word more than we believe what we see or hear from someone else's mouth. More than we believe the terror attacks, not that we deny the existence of the attack, no, it's there. For the attack may be very real, but God wants our faith in His word to become more reality to us than what we see in this natural world. Let's take a law of science as an example. The existence of gravity is a reality. How are we know that the laws of aerodynamics can be superseded? For example, God can make a bumblebee fly. Now, if you look at aerodynamics, the bumblebee should not be able to fly. And we can fight gravity with scientific methods. In the same way, by higher law, the law of faith and obedience to God's word, we can supersede terror. Faith does not deny the existence of terror. There are simply higher laws in the Bible for overcoming it. For example, here's a biblical example, David versus Goliath. Goliath should have won, hands down. He was bigger, he was stronger, he had protection, he had the weapons. And we know that Goliath cannot be denied. He existed. He existed and he challenged the Israelites. However, David wore his God goggles and saw that the giant, Goliath's faith, God had promised protection. And that comes from 1 Samuel 17. Now, John Johnson's experience, read at the beginning, is today an example of how we can put on our God goggles and face fear in a spiritual way. Reciting Psalm 91 is one such way.
Now, I was going to bring some goggles with me this morning. You know I was probably would have done that. And I probably would have even had us each wear them, except I can't read anything if I take off my present glasses. So I think the sermon would have been a bit at loss had we chosen to wear the goggles. But I do want you, if you ever have goggles at home, maybe set them aside. Put them where you can see them and say, when I'm upset by something, when I'm afraid of something, am I looking through the world's eyes or am I looking through God's goggles? And it does make a difference. So let us continue with verse 5. You will not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. Now let's focus on this word arrow, because I find this fascinating. An arrow is something. What does it do? It pierces and it wounds, right? And how does it do it? Spiritually, physically, mentally, and sometimes emotionally. That's what arrows can do. Now, arrows are intentional. Arrows deliberately sent by the enemy look for a spot that will cause the most damage. Spiritually, these will be spots or areas in our lives that have not been turned over completely to God. For example, if you're still becoming easily angry, or still becoming easily offended, or there's an area that still causes fear. We're all guilty of that, right? I mean, pick any one of the three for any of us, right? So again, if we're becoming too angry, if we're too easily offended, if something still causes too much fear, it's our tendency, but we have an ability to face it and flip it using our God goggles. So let me give you an example. And I shared this with a friend this week. I was told as I was growing up, mainly through my teen years, and Zoe, right when I was right in those early 20s, I recall being told over and over again that I was just too sensitive. Too sensitive, okay? Now, that was never meant as a compliment, all right? But I learned to turn that phrase by using my God goggles. So I learned to respond by saying, well, thank you. What that tells me is that I am a loving and caring person. You know, should anyone need my help, I will probably be the first that they will call. So should you ever need my help, feel free to call me. You can flip that because you know that there's two sides to every coin, and God intends for good. So wearing God goggles is important because the enemy will not attack where we are well fortified. Do you think that person ever said that to me again, who said I was too sensitive? Did they really want to hear, oh, thank you. Hey, listen, if you ever need anything, you feel free to call me. But I'll bet it stayed with them. I'll bet it stayed with them. Ephesians 6:16 says, God tells us that we have a shield of faith. And remember, shield is mentioned in the first four verses of this psalm. To extinguish what? What is the purpose of that shield? To stop what? To stop those arrows. To stop those arrows. And the scripture doesn't just say arrows. It says fiery arrows. Now keep that in mind. Fiery arrows are meant to do major damage, all right? We have a shield in God to extinguish all of those. Now, the book had an interesting example, which I related to, and I don't know how many of you are going to appreciate this as well. I don't know, but here it goes. There is a man who, in the Psalm 91 book, states that he was incredibly accident-prone. Okay, he could go up four, you know, rings of, what do you call it?
Runs,
the ladder, and he could fall, okay? He could go up steps and fall. And it wasn't a medical thing. It wasn't a medical issue. He was actually quite athletic and had everything checked out. He was fine, but just found that he was just overly clumsy. And he finally said, enough of this. It's nothing medical. There's no reason for this. And so he put it to the Lord, and he said, this will stop. This will stop. And he put it to the Lord in Psalm 91, and he said, it did. Now, I had a similar incident. My son is here with his wife, Amy, so pleased to have you here this morning. They know the story. Well, we lived over at Knox, and we had a foreign exchange student with us, Barbara, from Germany. The kids were telling her as we're going into Walmart how I have this thing with crying babies, that wherever I go, babies don't just cry, they scream bloody murder. I mean, it's piercing your eardrum. We can sit down in a restaurant and I will request, please, no babies. And so they do, but you see, the next waitress doesn't know that, and so what comes right next to us? A crying baby. If I'm on an airplane, what's next to me? Screaming, crying babies. And they were telling Barbara this. I'm saying nothing. I mean, the kids are telling her, and she looks at me like, nah, I don't believe it. They said, we were walking into Walmart. They said, you just wait and see. We walked into Walmart, and I no more than got a cart. I hadn't even pushed it down the first aisle. And some baby in the middle of the store started screaming at the top of its lungs. True story? He remembers that. And, you know, I got to starting to paying attention to that. And I'm thinking, what is this? What am I sending out into the universe that I am causing these babies to scream, poor children? I'm starting to see it as my fault, you know, because this was more than coincidence. And then I thought, well, maybe this is a satanic attack. And Satan's letting me know that he's coming after me, and he's using these screaming babies to really irritate me and get to me. I don't know. All I know is I put on my God goggles, and I started praying for children. Anytime I even heard a baby cry, even start to whimper, I'd start praying for that baby. And it has stopped. I can get on an airplane now and be surrounded by babies, and they will not cry. It's truly amazing. So sometimes we have to see what is coming at us, both positive as well as negative, and is there a pattern to it? And how can I turn that negative into a positive? And I started praying for children, and praying for children has been my thing since. I'd always worked with children, but I had never really seriously prayed, especially for the innocent babies who have no way of protecting themselves. So I encourage you, if you find something that seems to be almost a satanic attack, pay close attention to that, because there are ways to cover that in prayer. So I want you to rest assured that we have a covenant with God who is telling us not to be afraid of that arrow that flies by day.
Let's continue with the next part of Scripture. You will not be afraid of a pestilence that stalks in the darkness. Diabetes, cancer, other severe medical issues. We live with these realities, don't we? If I ask for raised hands on how many of you are living with these unfortunate realities or any other severe medical issues, it would certainly be a high percentage. Note that this is the only evil that God talks about twice in this psalm. When people try to make a point, they repeat themselves. Isn't that correct? Here we find God repeating himself. He says it in verse 3, then we're delivered from pestilence. And here again, he says it in verse 6. As Flint, Michigan has been battling the fear of polluted water due to lead poisoning, we fear pesticides poisoning in our foods. We also fear air pollution, potential germ, or even nuclear warfare. Therefore, we can now see the wisdom of praying over our food prior to eating it. You know, in the past, we often just said, "Thank you, Lord, for the food and for the hands that prepared it." Well, that's still good. However, in many places in our own country and around the world, prayer is needed for actual physical protection over the contents of the food. This promise is supported in Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, that states that God will remove sickness from our midst. If we are experiencing health problems today, we need to pray for the removal of it. If that prayer is not granted, we must pray that God removes the fear of the illness or the physical handicap.
So let's continue with the Word of God. Let's continue. It says, "You will not be afraid of the destruction that lays waste at noon." Now, as we look just at the word destruction, destruction encompasses the evil over which mankind has no control. For example, tornadoes, floods, hail, hurricanes, or fire. These are natural disasters. These are not acts of God to punish us. We find scriptural support, an example of this, in Mark 4 in verse 39, when we watch Jesus rebuking the storm and it becomes perfectly calm. This demonstrates that God is not the author of that storm. He didn't want them to have that storm. Jesus would not rebuke an act of his Father. He would not rebuke an act of himself. Jesus never contradicts his Father. He would not rebuke something sent by his Father. Furthermore, another lesson that we can learn as seen with the disciples in the storm is that sometimes these dangers and destruction can approach quickly and it can approach in broad daylight. These are what I call our out of control days, right? Days when life jerks the rug out from underneath us, when we feel that we have been broadsided by something that has occurred or something someone has said. So we need to pray proactively prior to the day's start for God's protection, that destruction not approach us. Or if it does anyway, that we grab our God goggles and we see it through his eyes, his protection, and his care.
Did you know that every known evil to man will fall into one of four categories? Terror, arrows, pestilence, or destruction. God says these things will not approach us if we dwell in his shelter and abide in his shadow. God says he is faithful to what he has promised. Psalm 91 promises that when he created us, he automatically made himself responsible to care for us and to meet our every need. He makes a promise and he sticks to it. How do we apply this information? First, we do share it with others. We tell others how God is using this psalm to work in your life.
And secondly, we live it boldly. We put on our God goggles. Where there is fear, we will focus on faith. Where there is hatred, we will focus on love. We will choose to be instruments of peace. We will choose to demonstrate a knowledge of God's peace to the world. So we would like to personalize the prayer of St. Francis Assisi called the Peace Prayer, which states,
"Where there is hatred,
let me show love.
Where there is doubt,
please God, let me bring faith.
Where there is falsehood,
let me bring truth.
Where there is pain,
I'll comfort you.
Where there is silence,
let me sing praise.
Where there is despair,
let me bring hope.
Where there is blindness,
let me bring sight.
Where there is darkness,
let me bring light.
And with these words I speak.
Oh, grant that I may not so seek to be heard, but to hear.
Not to be consoled, but to console.
Not to be seen, but to see.
Not to be loved, but to love.
For when we give love, we will receive love.
Amen.